It struck the door jamb to Billy's right and shattered.
Why did you have to hit her, you bastard? Why did you have to bring it on all of us? Why? Why? Why?
Halleck made it to the corner of Park Lane and Lantern Drive, and then collapsed onto the bench inside the bus shelter, shivering as if with ague, his throat and stomach sour with acid indigestion, his head buzzing with gin. He thought, I hit her and killed her, and now I'm losing weight and I can't stop. Carrie Rossington conducted the hearing. He let me off without so much as a tap on the wrist, and Carrie's in the Mayo Clinic. He's in the Mayo Clinic, and if you believe his wife, he looks like a fugitive from Maurice Sendak's alligators all around. Who else was involved in a way that the old gypsy might have decided called for revenge? He thought of the two cops, rousting the gypsies when they came into town, when they had presumed to start doing their gypsy tricks on the town common. One of them had just been a spear carrier, of course, just a patrol car jockey following orders. Whose orders? Why, the police chief's orders, of course. Duncan Hopley's orders. The gypsies had been rousted because they had no permit to perform on the common. But of course they would have understood that the message was somewhat broader than that. If you wanted gypsy folk out, there were plenty of ordinances. Vagrancy, public nuisance, spitting on the sidewalk, you name it. The gypsies had made a deal with a farmer out on the west side of town, a sour old man named Arncaster. There was always a farm, always a sour old farmer, and the gypsies always found him. Their noses have been trained to smell out guys like Arncaster, Billy thought now as he sat on the bench, listening to the first droplets of spring rain strike the bus shelter's roof. Simple evolution. All it takes is 2,000 years of being moved along. You talk to a few people. Maybe Madame Azonka does a free reading or two. You sniff for the name of the fellow in town who owns land but owes money, the fellow who has no great love for the town or for town ordinances, the guy who posts his apple orchards during hunting season out of pure orneriness, because he'd rather let the deer have his apples than let the hunters have the deer. You sniff for the name and you always find it, because there's always at least one Arncaster in the richest towns, and sometimes there are two or three to choose among. They parked their cars and campers in a circle, just as their ancestors had drawn their wagons and handcarts into a circle 200, 400, 800 years before them. They obtained a fire permit, and at night there was talk and laughter and undoubtedly a bottle or two passed from hand to hand. All of this, Halleck thought, would have been acceptable to Hopley. It was the way things were done. Those who wanted to buy some of whatever the gypsies were selling could drive out the West Fairview Road to the Arncaster place. At least it was out of sight, and the Arncaster place was something of an eyesore to begin with. The farms the gypsies found always were. And soon they would move on to Raintree or Westport, and from thence, out of view and thought. Except that after the accident, after the old gypsy man had made a nuisance of himself by turning up on the courthouse steps and touching Billy Halleck, the way things were done was no longer good enough. Hopley had given the gypsies 2 days, Halleck remembered, and when they showed no signs of moving along, he had moved them along. First, Jim Roberts had revoked their fire permit. Although there had been heavy showers every day for the previous week, Roberts told them that the fire danger had suddenly gone way, way up. Sorry. And by the way, they wanted to remember that the same regulations which controlled campfires and cookfires also applied to propane stoves, charcoal fires, and brazier fires. Next, of course, Hopley would have gone around to visit a number of local businesses where Lars Arncaster had a credit line, a line of credit that was usually overextended. These would have included the hardware store, the feed and grain store on Raintree Road, the farmer's co-op in Fairview Village, and Normie's Sunoco. Hopley might also have gone to visit Zachary Marchant at the Connecticut Union Bank, the bank that held Arncaster's mortgage. All part of the job. Have a cup of coffee with this one, a spot of lunch with that one, perhaps something as simple as a couple of franks and lemonades purchased at Dave's Dog Wagon, a bottle of beer with the other one. And by sundown of the following day, Everyone with a claim check on a little piece of Lars Arncaster's ass had given him a call, mentioning how really good it would be to have those damned gypsies out of town, how really grateful everyone would be. The result was just what Duncan Hopley had known it would be. Arncaster went to the gypsies, refunded the balance of whatever sum they had agreed upon for rent, and had undoubtedly turned a deaf ear to any protests they might have made. Halleck was thinking specifically of the young man with the bowling pins, who apparently had not as yet comprehended the immutability of his station in life. It wasn't as if the gypsies had a signed lease that would stand up in court. Sober, Arncaster might have told them they were just lucky he was an honest man and had refunded them the unused portion of what they had paid. Drunk, Arncaster was a 3 6-packs a night man. He might have been slightly more expansive. There were forces in town that wanted the gypsies gone, he might have told them. Pressure had been brought to bear.